Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the divine creation as the only true reality when the belief in the mental material world of good and evil is overcome. Listen as we discuss why divine law can only function in divine life and how the concept of matter dissolves in the light of divine truth. In this show, we will explain the differences between sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and stop believing in the many. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Discovering the Tree of Life. What would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, the idea of the Tree of Life. In Genesis, it is the prescription for a successful life, provided it is what is ingested for sustenance. One bite from any other tree is death. As we open our minds beyond the symbolism into an active model, we see the tree of life is life itself, the omnipresent spirit everywhere, always. Self-existent life, perfect, whole, changeless, the only life in truth, everywhere and in everything, yet it can't be seen with the mortal mind. And so in this show, we really want to talk about this idea of discovering the tree of life, because unlike Adam and Eve, we are born into the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're individualized from the belief in two powers, from duality. And in order for us to really get out of this, what is called the cycle of death and rebirth, we must be born again of spirit. And that's not just a slick phrase, but it is an actual human endeavor, a human enterprise. In fact, the origins of the word religion means to relink. Religions in their original format were here to educate humanity in how to rejoin with this omnipresent, perfect source of sustenance.
Swami, can we just dig a little bit deeper when we're talking about the symbolism of the trees? Like, can we go back to when God said to Adam and Eve, you can eat from these trees, but not from these trees? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, in Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then in Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. End of quote. All right, so here was the clue. But of course, if we don't understand that the Bible isn't really talking about trees, it's really talking about levels of consciousness, sources of sustenance. And whether we realize it or not, if we do not discover this tree of life, if we do not discover the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, while we are in this form, then we remain in this cycle of death and rebirth, which isn't a real existence. It is a hypnotic state. It's a thought about what's really here, which is the divine creation.
So, Swami, like Adam and Eve had this choice between those two trees or those levels of consciousness, that means we have the choices as well, and it's up to us to decide what level of consciousness that we are operating from?
Well, not exactly. It really has to do with what is it we are accepting as real? And I think the key question here is, why do we need to discover what is everywhere and in everything? And here is something from Herb Fitch, Revelation of St. John, Class 3A. And I'll read it. Now, the hard truth is going to hurt because it is the straightest and most narrow way imaginable. The hard truth is that you must live by divine thought, and you are not capable of thinking divine thought. There is no human mind in this world that can think divine thought. Only the mind of God can think divine thought. And unless divine thought is governing your life, you are in a separate stream of human thought. And that is a separate life which does not know the perfection and harmony of the divine. You must surrender your thought to the divine. There must be a place where divine thought and your thought are one and the same. There must be a place where I take no thought, not even for my life, because divine thought is my thought. God is thinking through me. You see, that is the tree of life. End of quote. All right, now, in Revelations in the Bible, they use the term churches. In Kriya Yoga, we use the term chakra. But what we're trying to find is this place where human thought and divine idea are one and the same. And so these thought windows that are in consciousness that we must discover and master is all part of our responsibility in order to be able to get out of the belief in the false sense of existence and become reawakened or united with the divine will. And until we break this hypnotic state and walk reason through the open door of revelation, we remain in this ever-ending, never-ending cycle, which is really just a dream state.
Well, you just said that Herb Fitch says there is no human mind in this world that can think divine thought. And then I think you just answered my question. That was, how do we do that? And you said we have to break this hypnotism. So if that be the case, where do we start to do that?
Well, this is it. First thing we have to do is believe in the divine creation. If you don't believe in the divine creation, then you really don't have any starting point. Whether we realize it or not, the entire human experience is a belief, and it falls under the same category as Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. But that's what hypnosis is. It is this whole relationship between thought and belief, and then it outpictures an event. But outside of human thought, there is nothing that backs this event that we react to. It's made of the same thing that our dreams are made of. And until we start with a willingness to come out of this false sense of life and then have some sort of game plan in how to rebirth identity into something that is more reliable, more dependable. And that's what we talk about all the time, is the physics of spirituality. Like attracts like. Now, the mortal sense of life is individualized by this belief in two powers, the world mind, which is based on the knowledge of good and evil. Now, once you accept that isn't real, that isn't who I am, then if you start with a belief in the divine creation, and you start with the tree of life, the tree of life gives you a principle, one life, one being, one perfect law of absolute harmony. Now, without a principle, then what you're doing never gets beyond the level of belief. And you can work with that because with belief and thought, you can change finite bad to finite good. But this scriptural request of know the truth and it will make you free. Once you start to realize what they mean by knowing is very different than what we call thinking. And there's a whole dynamic that has to be put in play in order for you to be able to stop thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through your material senses, and start knowing by living your life through soul sense, through the information that is coming through the divine creative principle, not the mental material world of energy, but the divine truth. And the divine principle can only be perfect, whole, eternal, changeless.
So I have a question for you from the summary that I read earlier. And I'd like to ask you, how is it that the concept of matter dissolves in the light of divine truth?
Yeah, the mental material world of energy is what we would call the lie. And in the light of divine truth, just like light dispels darkness, divine truth dispels the ignorance of the mental material world that isn't backed by the divine principle. It's like in John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. End of quote. He kind of sums the whole thing up right there. If you don't know the truth, then you are in a false sense of existence. And that's what we want to start to figure out, is how do we get out of this darkness? How do we get out of the ignorance of the mental material world of energy? Hopefully we begin to understand that if you start with the tree of life, that will give you a principle, the law of one power, one perfect eternal life. You start with a belief in this principle, in this law. And then as you continue to work with it, your belief in the divine principle will then graduate into faith. Because faith is without thinking with your five material senses, but just making your mind aware for this divine creation, it starts to influence your experiences. How we think is what we become. But when we're thinking with duality, which originates in fear and limitation, we externalize this good and evil world of opposite experiences. But when we are conscious of the divine creation, truth and wholeness, and that begins to influence our thought, it will externalize as experiences that are more in sync with divine qualities. But always remembering that what is appearing in the corporeal sense mind is never real. Like Mary Baker Eddy says, sometimes beautiful, always erroneous. It's just the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure.
cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. I see we have another excerpt from Herb Fitch's Revelation of St. John from Class 3A. Would you read that for us?
Yeah, it begins, "Freedom is the unveiling of the hypnosis. It is the reversal of hypnosis. Freedom is the realization that the things which take place in my mind, in my human mind, are not happening except in my human mind." You say that's a hard teaching. Yes, it is the hardest teaching there is. That whatever is happening in your mind is not happening anywhere else except in your mind. And that your dominion lies only in taking dominion over your mind. Your mind has got to see sickness, has got to know sickness, has got to accept sickness as a reality, because it has no way of seeing God. Your mind has no way of experiencing God itself. The best your mind can do is form a concept of God, and the concepts that you form are not under the law of the Father. God does not govern your human concepts. God does not enter into your human concepts. God enters only into divine activity. And the veil is our mind believing that its thought is reality. End of quote. He's really trying to let us know we're hypnotized. We are in some sort of dream state. And what we want to start to understand is, how do we awaken from the dream? And the mind can't free itself from its own creation. So we're going to need a plan. We're going to need something that will help us break the spell.
Well, Herb says the best our minds can do is form a concept of God. But where do we go from there?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. He also says, we have to take dominion over the mind, which means we have to learn how to control how we think. To the extent that we can stop thinking, we stop the influx of information coming through the world mind, through the corporeal senses. And then we make the mind aware for the presence of divine mind. Now, of course, these are two very different streams of thought. The human thought is duality. It's a divided consciousness. Divine idea is whole. It's complete. The human mind thinks in terms of what's called the rational, whereas divine mind speaks in terms of the absolute. When you make your mind aware of the presence of the divine mind, in this silence and in this stillness, you bury your awareness until divine truth reveals itself to you. This revealing of the truth to human consciousness is what's called the Christ. Once you have this birth of Christ in consciousness, you're no longer trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, or even asking. You're resting in the knowledge, in the light of divine truth. That will then govern you from within. You'll no longer be searching in the outside for anything. But the term that they use is born again of spirit. First of all, we have to create this hospitable environment of silence and stillness to invite divine truth into our consciousness. And then in this process, we have to educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension. This all comes under the idea of controlling how we think, understanding the relationship between life-sustaining force, number one, thought, and life-sustaining force, number two, breath. Your rate of breath equals your rate of thought. Correcting all bad habits, all your limitations, refining the mind-body complex until you can accept the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence as your symbol for validation. When you internalize spirit as your symbol for validation, then you have the capacity to calm the physical body, which for the most part is driven by fear, need, with what it really does need. The availability of your next breath becomes a symbol that I'm okay. Now, once you have internalized this imagery to the extent that you are no longer reacting to the testimony of the corporeal senses, and your mind is aware for the presence of divine mind, then by not thinking, you're not competing with the divine idea. And divine truth in consciousness then begins to resolve things into thoughts and exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea. It externalizes as divine qualities.
So, Swami, how does the tree of life, what does it have to do with what is it you're just telling us?
Yeah, what we're trying to do here is look for the clues that you find in Scripture. So say, for example, Revelation in the Bible, working with seven churches. We cross-reference that with the seven chakras in yoga. You can also use the seven Christian Science words for the Lord's house or God, and it'll give you a plan. It will give you structure, because in Revelations, the seven churches, the seven purposes, the seven candlesticks, seven stars, seven gifts, seven spirits, these are all words that can be used to help us understand the complexity of this mind-body complex that we're working with. Say, for example, you start with Ephesus, principle. Is self-existence, divine existence, infinite, is speaking to divine existence in you. And the first gift of God is the tree of life. The more you educate your thought up to this spiritual apprehension, this mortal mind, this mind that works on contrast, the divided consciousness, we educate our thought. We try and fill our mind with these divine ideas. But then, like we say, at some point we control how we think. We stop thinking. We graduate from my will to thy will be done. All of this is a process of attuning the mind-body complex to the divine idea. And for a lot of us, there's a lot of unlearning, there's a lot of undoing that has to take place before we're even on a level playing field. Like we had said, belief is pretty much the level playing field, because we believe in sickness, disease, lack, limitation, suffering. And none of these things were created by the divine principle. So we have to start changing our beliefs. We have to start to educate ourselves with a reality system that when you plug it into your activity, that it begins to demonstrate a different return. And so starting with this first gift in Revelation, the tree of life, and what would that entail to see only one being, only one life, absolute goodness, eternal life, changeless? For mortal sense, that would be accepted as boring. And these are some of the things we would have to try and reconcile. The realization of life without opposite is the divine principle, which is the foundation for divine truth. Life without death, sickness, suffering, lack, or limitation. When we draw from truth and wholeness, we become truth and wholeness. However, when we draw from fear and limitation, we become fear and limitation. Divine truth is the only reality. The good and evil world of energy and change is a hypnotic state, a mental image, a dream about what is really here, which is the perfection of the divine creation.
So we have something here from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17, and I'll read it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That's end of the quote. Can you summarize that for us?
Well, what they're talking about here is the difference between identifying with yourself as a finite mortal being and then graduating into identifying with yourself as spirit. And the limitations happen, like it says, spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. In the light of spiritual truth, there is no finite mortal existence. And like what Mary Baker Eddy says, we have to declare ourselves to be immortal. We have to understand ourselves to be perfect, whole, complete. Because until we understand ourselves to be one with the divine principle, we have no rule to demonstrate that principle. And like she clearly states, to declare yourself to be perfect, she doesn't mean that mortals are the children of God. For us to be the child of the divine, we must know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Spirit, which is whole, complete, fulfilled, out of time, space, concept, belief, matter, form, no longer thinking, and no personal sense, no personal will. That's a whole different identity. I am everywhere, always. But until we know ourselves in that way, we continue to be under the government of the law of karma, under material law, in this cycle of death and rebirth.
Well, that completes our program for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, you can scroll down. You'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's show?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and stop believing in the many. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga revelation. Namaste.